Court meeting with the bus workers, and we'll let you go. The book of Joshua, chapter 18. I want you to give me attention for just a few minutes tonight. And I'll bring the message I felt like the Lord's laid on my heart. Joshua, chapter 18. Moses, God's man, had died. The Lord called him out. Joshua took over as the leader of God's people. They were to go in and possess the land and claim all these wonderful blessings that the Lord had for them. In type, that's how you and I were saved out of Egypt, and God has lots of blessings and things for us if we'll walk right and claim the victories that He's had. Now, you know how I believe about all that stuff. We'll not take time. Canaan and all that stuff is a double type. But we're going to use it. We're going to use it tonight as a thought of victory and not possessing the land. The children of Israel for 40 years wandered around in the wilderness living way below their privileges. They could have had a whole lot more if they had trusted the Lord and done right. There's no doubt in my mind God's saying the same thing to our generation. Most Christians tonight are living way below our privileges. We're living substandard to where God's people should be and could be. Somebody said the average church member is so abnormal that if anybody ever got normal according to the New Testament, they would be abnormal in the average church. The average church is so backslid that if anybody gets right in the average church, they ain't nobody to fellowship with. They have to backslide to fit in with the rest of the congregation. And you know that's the truth. You go to an average Baptist church, somebody really gets on fire for God, people are like, oh, who they think they are. You know, because everybody's on this backslid condition and been that way for years. Now, I want to show you what the Lord gave me. Now, you may not believe it, but let's look at it. Joshua 18:1. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? There's a word in that verse that jumped out and grabbed me. It is the word slack. Did you know that's in the Bible? I'm going to preach tonight on the subject slackers. You slackers here tonight. I saw somebody show it the other day. I was answered, I'm a slacker. I would not go around telling everybody that I'm a lazy loser, would you? So I'm going to preach to you spiritual slackers. Isn't it amazing how up to date the King James Bible is? Right into 2012, kids going around with it on their shirt, slacker. And there it is in the Bible, lo and behold. How long are you slack to go possess the land? Some of you need spiritual surgery. You need to get your heart fixed and get it right with God. You're living way below your privileges. Now this message tonight is going to be very short, brief, and to the point. I started to say short and sweet. It'll be short. Okay, it'll be short. And I want you to listen. Too many of us tonight is just a lazy slacker. A lazy slacker is somebody you know that won't work, won't accomplish anything. He's like the guy that says, I do my exercises every morning. First thing, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Then I do the other eyelid. He's like that guy. He's like the fella who the only exercise he gets is pushing his luck, running down his neighbor, and jumping to conclusions. That's the only exercise some people get. And I've noticed, are you listening to me tonight? I've noticed that the people who are the most critical of the church and what's going on in the church or not going on are usually the people who are slackers and not doing anything for God themselves. Busy people have no time to be busybodies. And you show me a person that's always finding fault and finding this wrong, and I don't like that, and I don't agree with that, and did you see that, and I don't like her, and I don't agree with him, and I don't see that. It's usually because they're sitting back doing nothing for the Lord. They're usually the people who find the most fault with the church are the ones that are doing the least, because busy people have no time to be busybodies. Amen? You're just a slacker. You're a slacker. You know that? You're just a slacker. You ought to write that on your forehead. You like tattoos? Don't get one. Take a magic marker, right? Slacker. Right across there. Amen? I want to say a few things about that tonight. I want to say you have no victory or power. It's very rare anymore to meet somebody that has the victory. It really is. How long has it been since you met a Christian that had the victory? I mean, that's like, glory to God, it's good to be saved. Most people you meet, boy, how you doing? I'm telling you what, I'm just barely here, preacher. I don't know, I'm about ready to just give up. Everybody you talk to is like that. It would be refreshing once in a while for somebody to seek God long enough and pray enough and read about till they got the victory and be a blessing to all the rest of us, wouldn't it? I'm telling you what, boy, I told you the other night, I had a preacher call me from South Carolina, and he told me, he said, Danny, I've never heard a preacher preach on fasting until I heard you. Never, not one time. He lives down in Greenville, South Carolina, where there's 5 million preachers. He said, I've never heard one sermon on fasting since I've been saved. He said, Lester Roloff preached it, and he's dead and gone. And he said, I've never heard one. Don't y'all, I bet that makes y'all mad, don't it? There's one church probably in Hyphen, North Carolina, that's heard a whole sermon on fasting, and you're it. The Lord must have it in for you people. I mean, y'all must be bad. You must be the worst of the worst of God and say, that's the one church right there that needs to fast. It ain't my fault they don't preach the Bible. I'm telling you something Paul said, in fastings often. In fastings often. And you know why preachers don't preach on fasting? Because they don't practice fasting. And you know why they don't practice fasting? Because it hurts this flesh, and we don't want to do anything that will inconvenience our flesh. The world go to hell. We don't care about our neighbors. We get upset for Tar Heels lose, but it don't bother us a bit if nobody's ever saved, or our neighbor's going to hell, or our family don't get right. But we just don't want anything to convenience our flesh. We are slackers, brother. Start to say flackers. That's a new one, ain't it? Amen. Amen. I tell you what, we ought to make up our mind. We're going to serve the Lord. Somebody said, well, I'm just a lazy Christian. A lazy Christian is a contradiction. They were called Christians because they followed the Lord. And if a man don't follow the Lord, technically in the biblical sense, he's not a Christian. I didn't say he wasn't saved. I said in the biblical sense, he's not following the Lord as a Christian should follow. So a lazy Christian is a contradiction. You'd say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't do nothing in church. I don't witness. I don't pay my tithes. But I'm a Christian. That's a contradiction. Somebody told me the other day, now you may not agree with this, but I'm preaching now, so I'm going to say what I believe. Somebody said, Brother Danny, you want a piece of carrot cake. To me, that's the same thing as a lazy Christian. Carrot cake? That's a contradiction, brother. What if I come out to you and say, would you like a piece of green bean cake? Yeah, green beans and cake are two things that don't go together. You don't put green beans. I mean, oh, that's just a wonderful piece of asparagus cake. No. That's the difference. That's like a Christian. That's like a lazy Christian. That's like grape nuts. It ain't grapes and it ain't nuts. That's right. They ain't neither one. That's like, brother. Listen, you hear a lazy Christian. We're not supposed to be lazy. We're supposed to be on fire. We're supposed to come to church. We're supposed to worship God. We're supposed to care about our neighbor. We're supposed to be busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen right there. Slacker. Slacker. You say, Brother Dent, listen, if some of you people worked on your job like your church life is, you'd get fired before this week is over. You don't always want to get up at 6 o'clock and make it to that place, work by 7, do you? You don't always feel led. You don't always want to. But boy, you'll get up. I mean, you'll get to work, and you ought to. But when it comes to church, you don't care if you get here. You'll come into work on time. Make sure you're there before it starts. But when it comes to church, you don't care if you're here on time or not. You don't even care if you even come or not. You're a slacker. I'm telling you, brother, you believe it. You're going to get fired one of these days. The Lord's going to fire you. I'm telling you tonight, we are raising a generation of people that are slacker. It ain't no wonder we can't get nothing done for God. Amen. That's right, brother. Casey Anthony will run a daycare. And Nancy Grace will have her John David and Lucy in it before some people ever do anything for God. Spike Lee will be help a white person before some of y'all ever get right with God. Say amen, Brother Danny. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight, brother. We're just a bunch of slackers. I remember in days gone by, when you could get up and you could say, we need about 20 men to come out here tomorrow night. We're going to cut weeds. We're going to do that. You'd have 20 men show up. I remember back in the 80s. And brother, listen, I know church. You'd have men. Try it nowadays and watch what happens. Bunch of lazy people. I mean, don't care nothing about God's house, the door to heaven that'll keep our families out of hell, and we don't care if any work gets done or not. Now, you might as well sit there tonight, because I'm going to get this off my heart, and I ain't going to quit till I get through. And don't look down, because I didn't say pray yet. I'll tell you when it's time to pray. I'm telling you something tonight, brother. It's about time we got off our blessed assurance and got up and done something for the Lord and said, Lord, I'll serve you. Time's running out. I don't want to be a slacker in the work of God. Amen. I'm telling you something, brother. When you get more tore up over a ball game, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with you. It's funny how you can make it to everything but church. It's funny how you can know everything else in the world but never read your Bible, and it don't bother you a bit. It's funny how you can be critical of somebody that won't work and you won't hit a lick for nothing in the house of God and criticize anybody that does. Funny, you can't keep awake during a 30-minute sermon, but you'll read a 300-column newspaper home on Sunday morning. It's funny to me that Sunday's your only day to rest, but then get up at 4:30 and go fishing out to the lake and spend the other half of the day on the golf course. I know people say, well, I have to rest on Sunday and go loping all over creation. The church seats are too hard. Better sit on concrete in the rain and watch 22 men beat each other up and chase a pigskin up and down a cow pasture for 3 solid hours and scream their heads off and pay $100 to get in there. And God's people said, that's right. Good preaching, Brother Danny. Some people don't have time for church, but they got time for bowling. They got time for TV. They got time for eating out. Got time to go to the mall. But watch it when I call a work day. Amen. Why do you even go to church? Some go to take a walk. Some go to life and talk. Some go to meet a friend. Some go their time to spend. Some go to meet a lover. Others go to fault to cover. Some go for speculation. Others go for observation. Some go to snooze and nod. But some go to worship God. You know, doing nothing is the hardest job in the world because you can't stop and rest. Doing nothing is the most tiresome job in the world because you can't quit and rest. That's why you're so tired all the time. You are a slacker. Amen. If God... Listen. And I thank God. Some of y'all been up and said, Brother Danny, whatever you need to youth rally, I mean, and some of y'all are dodging me. There's something wrong with your brain. You ought to thank God we get a chance to have a youth rally. If God honors you
to set up a chair in the choir over there, or put out a chair on the, you ought to thank him for the privilege of doing that. Somebody might sit in that chair and get saved by the grace of God. Are you listening to me? If God honors you by letting you serve a meal and put a hot dog on a plate and smile to a bus kid, you ought to shout and say, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of serving. What's wrong with us, people? We're so backslid, we don't even care about people going to hell anymore. God have mercy on us. We're slackers in the work of the Lord. Say amen right there. God honors you by letting you run a weed eater for 30 minutes and cutting weeds around. Somebody might come and see a motorcycle jump, or somebody might, listen, you ladies, all you men, listen, working in the bookstore, if you hand somebody a tract or serve somebody a hot dog, say, honey, I'm glad you come to the youth rally. It sure is good to be here. You don't know what that little witness might do to a person's life. Say amen right there. That's right. Even if you're on the right road, you'll get run over if you don't just sit there. Are you a wishbone, a jawbone, a knee bone, or a backbone? Some people in the church ain't nothing but a jawbone. Jawbone. It's and I mean it. Did you hear what she said? They said. We said, oh, I would have never believed it. She said, and I know, because my first cousin's ex-brother-in-law's his third wife's ex-boyfriend used to go there, and he knows it for a fact. So it's true. Are you a wishbone? Well, I wish this, and I wish that, and I wish that. Well, all you do is sit around and wish. You ain't going to get nothing done. Are you a knee bone? Are you a knee bone? Brother, I'm glad we had some people up here last night, some people at home. Brother, we bowed our knees, and we said, dear God, and you could feel it in here this morning, couldn't you? Can you feel God in here this morning? This is a spiritual war. We're praying the devil out of here. The devil's got to go. There ain't room enough for him and God both in here. Run him out of this place. We don't want him here. Tell him to go on home. Tell him to wait in your car with your music. I'm telling you something, brother. I'm telling you tonight. You hear me? Brother, we've got to get him out so we can have a youth rally and a church that God will bless. Are you a knee bone? You spend time in prayer this week? Are you backbone? Thank God we've got some backbone. Thank God we've got some backbone. I've been praying. I was talking about you men here. I have been praying, God, send us some men with some families. We got a lot of kids. We got some godly ladies in our church. God, give us some men. God, give us some backbone. God, give us some men that'll crowd around and say, bless the Lord. Well, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we'll serve God. God, give us some men. We need dirtier fingernails and cleaner minds in this country. I read you about John Wesley. I talk about John Wesley a lot. He's a great man. John Wesley traveled 250,000 miles on horseback, averaging 20 miles a day for 40 years. Now, I don't know if you understand that or not. Riding a horse 20 miles a day for 40 years. Now, 20 miles ain't from here to Marion. You know, you think that ain't in a car, it ain't. But most of you rode a horse from here to Marion, you couldn't walk tomorrow. You'd be going like this. Lord, you'd be sore in places you didn't know you had. That's right, brother. You'd discover muscles and Lord, you'd 40 years, brother! That man rode a horse 20 miles a day for 40 years, preached 40,000 sermons, produced 400 books, knew 10 languages. When he was 83 years old, he was annoyed that he could not write but 15 hours a day without hurting his eyes. And I've heard people in here got 40 and said, Brother Danny, I'm just going to give it up. I'm 40. Listen, you ain't grown to your 40. Really, life begins at 40. That's what they say, ain't it? I'm telling you, that's when you're just starting to get it figured out, between 35 and 40. Some never do get it figured out. You got people like Cher and Dick Clark and all them. They're 80 and still ain't figured it out. John Wesley was annoyed that he couldn't write more than 15 hours a day when he was 83. At 86, he was ashamed that he couldn't preach but twice a day. He complained in his diary he had an increasing tendency to lie in the bed till 5:30 in the morning. You know what the difference between John Wesley and you? You are a slacker. Some of you think the sun automatically comes on at 9 o'clock. The Lord just switches it on. And then about an hour later, you get up. My girls, listen, they never want to go to bed. Never did. Never did. I said, go to bed. I ain't sleepy. I didn't ask you, was you sleepy? Go to bed. I'm not sleepy. Wait a minute. I didn't ask you, was you sleepy? Go to bed. But I can't go to sleep. I didn't tell you how to go to sleep. I told you how to go to bed. They said, I can't go to sleep. I didn't say you had to go to sleep. You got to go to bed and you got to close your eyes. That's what you got to do. And if you'll make them go to bed and make them close their eyes, some of you parents let your kids sit up all night long and you're messing up by doing it. You're raising a lazy slacker. They'll wind up staying up all night, sleeping all day, and it's going to be your fault. Make them go to bed. Now, I know they get to stay up a little bit later on Friday night, so I understand that. You ought to be able to get to church Saturday morning, go on bus route, do something. You can't get up because you won't go to bed. You never know. You say, Brother Danny, I just don't go to school. I mean, I don't go to church. You're like a student, don't go to school. You're like a soldier, don't go to the half army. You're like a citizen, don't vote. You're like a salesman, ain't got no customers. That's what you are. You're like a captain, ain't got a crew. You're like a bee, no hive. You're like a player, that ain't got a team. You're like a parent with no family. You're just a slacker. I've seen people give the usher, find me some money here. I ain't got no money. Give me some money, Jeremy. You ain't got no money. You got any money, Jim? Ain't no wonder our church in such bad shape. There you go. I've seen people. Here's how tight they are. I've seen people do this. Now, you know, if a man makes $200, his 10% of that, his tithe is what? Somebody tell me. $20. That's God's tithe, that $20 right there. Now, whatever he gives above that is his offering. You ain't give a penny. Some of you men ought to be ashamed of yourself. Poor people in here paying their tithes and you stacking up money and won't even pay your tithes. And then throw in a little bit like that eases your conscience. And you know good and well you're making 10 times more than you're giving. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. It ain't my fault you ain't doing right. Don't blame me, it ain't my fault. It's your fault, you're a slacker. I've seen men take $20 and they made $175, which your tithes technically be $17.50. And honest to goodness, stand there and make the usher give them change. I've seen it. Was that you did that last Sunday? I've seen them do it. I'm telling you, listen, you say, well, you're getting in a bad... Yes, I am in a bad spirit, and anybody ought to be in a bad spirit over somebody that slack and backslid and sorry. That's about a sorry. A man makes $175 and gives... Can you not give God a $2 and a half offering? Slacker. I didn't write the Bible. The Lord said it. Why are you slack? You slacker. Amen. Amen, preacher. You know what makes a river crooked? Same thing that makes a man crooked. Following the path of least resistance. That same thing makes a man crooked. You know what makes a man crooked? Following the path, doing what's easy.
not doing what's hard. A river's crooked because it follows the least resistance. Whichever way is easiest, that's which way. And that's what makes a man crooked. Just doing what's easy. All right, you slackers. Everybody in here that's a slacker. I know people, you used to love going bus route, love the Lord. I mean, some of y'all ain't knocked on a door in a year. And yet you got the gall to find fault with somebody in our church trying to do something? Who you think you are? I know who you are. You are a slacker. That's who you are. You got the gall to criticize somebody trying to do something for God, and you haven't knocked on a door in 5 years, somebody. Go this week! Knock on your door. Tell your neighbor at work, say, hey, we're having a youth rally. I want you to come. Come to church. They say, we won't come to our church. Tell them to go somewhere else to church. I do that all the time. I witness people. I know preachers that won't witness unless it's in their area, in their community. How many of y'all know Brother Mike Boone that goes to church at New Mountain? You know Brother Mike Boone? Mike Boone's one of the finest members in that church. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, traveling in the airport, giving out tracts, and gave him a tract. Didn't even know it. He from Marion, he's in service, and come home and got saved and started coming to our church. Amen. That's for people who think, well, I just witnessed in my area. You know what? I believe it was John Wesley, one of them boys, said, he said, the world is my parish. There ain't no such thing as out of our area. They're a sinner, they're going to hell, they're our parish. They're our field. You know what we need some people to do? I ain't going to be no slacker no more, Brother Danny. I'm going to slap myself. What kills me is y'all look around and you'll see somebody else doing it or not doing it, and you think, they do it. Why can't I? They don't come to Sunday school. I ain't. They don't do it. They don't sing. I'm not going to sing. And it spreads like poison. You don't judge yourself by what the other man. Like they dress like it, so I can dress like it. I'm not trying to be ugly or mean. That's why we have to continually say that. Girls wear nice dresses to church. Guys wear pants to church. Men, come on now. Say amen right there. Shouldn't have to say that. Okay, girl. I mean, if you just got off work, I understand. I ain't stupid. When I heard about that girl, they said she looked like she had melted and poured in them clothes she had on and forgot to say when. They're fussing about the prom dresses. Been on the news and everything. Prom dresses, they used to look like a princess. Now they look like a barroom hooker. That's right. And listen, it ain't supposed to look like that at the house of God. Or any other place if you're a Christian. Amen. Lord, if some ladies, I mean, you'd be a lot better off to cover up, believe me. I said that one woman, she looked like a fly laying in her nose and she tried to get it off with an ice pick. She entered an ugly contest and they sent her a letter and said, no professionals, please. I don't know how I got off on all that. Now, I'm going to hush here tonight. The Lord told these people, He said, how long are you slack to go in and possess the land? We need some people here tonight to say, preacher, I'm going to quit slacking. I'm going to rededicate. Not be a slacker. Some of you men would make great Sunday school teachers, deacons. But you won't get dedicated. You just won't. I don't know why. You only got one life. You're going to die and face God. I don't know why you won't just get dedicated and get on fire. You only got one shot. I got up this morning and I thought, you know what? Glory to God, this is April. The sun's going to shine today. I got a chance to preach the Word of God. I got a chance today to go to church and be a blessing to people. I'm going to take advantage of it.
Let's don't let the devil cheat us out of what God wants us to do. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.